podcast, Planet Boom have released a brand new album, JC Squad. It's available on all digital platforms, so why don't you download it today? This week, we have Pastor Russell Evans sharing a powerful message, Running to Win. Let's check it out.
The title of my sermon today is, or my talk, or my exhortation, is from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. And it's reading from the Message version of the Bible. And I really like how it puts this scripture. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilaration finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that shoot adrenaline into your souls. What an amazing scripture. Another version is, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off the things that will entangle us, the sin that will so easily trip us up. And let's run with perseverance the race set out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, by the way, before I start, I just want to honour Pastor Scott. Pastor Scott has a master's. He just finished as our principal of our Bible college. Done an amazing job. When he took over the Bible college, it was 80 students. Now there's close to 500 students, and which is pretty cool. And then Dr. Clayton Coombs is such a gift to our church and gift to our college. He has two PhDs. He's brilliant. He's humble. And all our staff are amazing. The cohort are incredible. And you know what I love about our college? We just don't have theorists. Because you can study something but never operate in it. We have people who not only understand the theory, but understand how to put it into practice. And so I want to honour all our college staff, faculty, President Scott, Academic Dean Dr. Clayton Coombs. It's so good. We honour you. We thank God for you. Brilliant at what has happened in our college. But in this scripture, it starts off and it says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who have blazed the way. You know, this race of life that we have has been run and completed before. There are people who have been through pandemics. There's people who've been through wars. There's people who've been through troubles and trials. There's people who have been through sicknesses. There's people who have been through challenges. There's people who have had family issues. There's people who have been victorious. There's people who've been successful. All these people have gone before us. And so you and I need to understand that we aren't in this alone. We're not on a path that never has been walked before. It's been walked before. And these people have made it to the end. These people haven't just crawled over the finish line. They've run over the finish line. Because today I want to encourage you, run to win. We are running to win in 2021. Running to win. So if this race has been run and completed before, you can do it. I'm going to refer to him a lot because he's sitting on the front row. But my personal trainer's here, Patrick. He makes me sick because he's very, very fit. And he did 1,000 burpees. 1,000 burpees. Right? That's just weird. Who would ever want to do 1,000 burpees? For charity, okay. That's good. And he said to me this one thing. He says, if you conquer a certain thing, there, like let's say 100 push-ups, He said, doing 50 will never be a problem to you because you've already completed 100. And in life, there are people who have completed things and they're saying to you, you can do it because we've done it. And what you're going through, you will get through. What you've struggled with, you'll get through. And here's the problem in life is many people want to get out of the struggle and want to shortcut the struggle. You remember, you have a caterpillar and they weave a cocoon. And this cocoon, they struggle inside this cocoon. But in the struggle, they come out as a beautiful butterfly. Because it's in the struggle of life and in the conquering, overcoming the struggle, you create beauty. If you cut the cocoon open too soon, which is what we do with a lot of young people these days, we have parents that go, oh, they're getting treated tough and they're getting treated hard, so we'll get them out of that situation. And it's out of a heart to protect them. But sometimes you've got to teach your young people and your children to go through the struggle of disappointment, of challenge, of things that come their way, because if they don't conquer there, they're never going to conquer there. And because you've conquered, you can say, you can get through and you can make it and you can do it. In fact, I remember my father, one time he was on this trip away and I was in the worship team back in my old church and we're in a prayer meeting and we used to meet in the second level of, it was actually in the Bible College Hall, and I was looking out the window while people were praying and I was laughing at something I saw. And the music director guy was mad. My dad was away, his boss, and he was mad. And so you know what he did? He wanted to see me that week and he stood me down for 3 months. It's called excessive, by the way. He stood me down for 3 months because I was laughing in a prayer meeting. Now, I was highly offended. I was like, that's it, I'm leaving church. And in that week, actually, I was offered a position to play in a band, a secular band that would make money. Even though I was underage, I could have got in because they were all overage. And isn't it amazing, when you go through a challenge, the enemy comes in and tries to take you out. And my dad comes back from overseas trips with my mum, and I said, first thing I said to him, I said, I'm leaving this church. I'm angry and I'm hurt. My dad didn't go, oh, you poor thing. It's what my dad did. He said, what happened? He tells me what happened. I didn't know this, but he was really annoyed at what happened to me. But you know what my dad did? He sat me down because he had been through disappointment. He had been treated poorly by people at times. And his father said to him, if you don't learn in this moment to conquer this, in the future you will never learn. So to me, my dad says, come on, Russell. Things are done unfairly to you over your life. You've got to learn to live in forgiveness. You've got to learn to suck it up and you've got to learn to change. I didn't know he was really mad at this guy for what he did to me. But he never told me that until just a few years ago, because he wanted to teach me that in life, there's a finish line, and if you don't deal with the issue here, you'll never make it here. At Planet Shakers College and Church, we want to not just teach people about the Bible. We want to teach people how to be victorious in the challenge. We want to teach people in a year of 2020 that we can still move forward as a Bible college, that we still can encounter God, that we can still learn, because people have gone before us and they say, come on, you can get through. Secondly, be inspired by the previous runners because they're cheering you on. Be inspired. You ever read the Bible and you're inspired by people? You know, one of the people that inspires me is Mary, who came and poured perfume on Jesus' feet. She broke open a bottle of perfume that cost a year's wage. Talk about inspiring generosity. And then she used her hair to wipe his feet. I always say this is true. Imagine if it was me being Mary and I come and poured perfume on Jesus' feet and got my hair to wipe his feet. It'd be like a roll-on deodorant on his feet or something, I don't know. But how inspiring that this woman would be so in love with Jesus that she would give extravagantly. I'm inspired by the boy who took his lunch and to hear Jesus speak, and there's over 5,000 plus people. In fact, probably they say about 30,000 people. And out of a boy's lunch, he said, "Here, it's yours, Jesus." And Jesus fed a multitude. I'm inspired by him, and I'm also inspired by Jesus because Jesus took this and multiplied it. I'm inspired by Joseph, who has a dream and he's all excited and his brothers get jealous and they sell him as a slave, and then he becomes a slave in Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife says he tried to sleep with her, but he didn't, and he gets put into jail. I'm inspired by this guy because wherever he went, he did his best. Wherever he went, he kept dreaming. Wherever he went, he kept interpreting other dreams, and then he became the prime minister of Egypt. Why? Because he kept his dream. I'm inspired by David, a worshiper and a warrior. He could worship one moment and he could defeat the enemy the next moment. I'm inspired by Peter, who put his foot in his mouth, said dumb things, but yet Jesus believed in him and released him to see the church birth. And the very first church sermon came from Peter's mouth. I'm inspired by Abraham, who believed God. I'm inspired by Elijah, who stood on Mount Carmel and saw the fire of heaven come and a nation turn to God. All through Scripture, there are people that are inspiring. But through history, there's people inspiring. My mother, who we celebrated today through a award that we give every year. I was born in Papua New Guinea. They called me a pikinini, which is a little baby. And born in Papua New Guinea, and my mother got hepatitis in Papua New Guinea. That was my grandma who got smallpox in India. So the moral of the story is don't be a missionary because you won't get a disease. Only joking. And so she's there and she has hepatitis and she's in a hospital. She's not in the hospital, but she's in an apartment right next to the hospital, if you can call it an apartment. I actually went to see the hospital I was born in. I'm like, how am I alive? Because you talk about being born in a manger, that's probably worse than a manger. When I went in there, they had these signs up. A TB outbreak was happening in the hospital. They had closed it down. And I'm like, oh, it was full on. And anyway, so my mother's there and a snake comes in her room. And in the middle of the night, this big snake comes, she puts a torch, if you're American, flashlight, and she sees this big snake in, she's sick, and she has a nervous breakdown as she screams. My dad comes and kills the snake, but she actually had to come back from Papua New Guinea to Brisbane, and she was put in a psychiatric hospital, and she went into severe depression. She had a total nervous breakdown. My dad, actually, I was filming him not long ago about stories of his life. And he said, as he got out of his car in the parking lot or the car park, he could hear my mum screaming. She was not in a good way. We were moved to Adelaide for my dad to start a church there. My mum got a little bit better, then got worse again. And when my mum was going through a very tough time, and I was a really good kid. Right? I was probably about 4 or 5 by then. I was a very good kid. Like at 4 or 5, I'd do the dishes. I would make the bed. I'd mow the lawns. Someone just wrote that down. Really? No. But one day she was so depressed and I was making noise. It was my brother probably because I was the holy one of the household. And I was speaking in tongues by the time I was 6 months old. I was so holy. You know, miracles were happening everywhere as my shadow passed. It was amazing. That was just my life growing up, just just happened, just kept happening. My brother, he was the sinful one. I was like the holy one. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. Some visitor here has come to support one of their students, go, what do they teach at this Bible college? No, that's a joke, by the way, a joke. But she felt like picking me up and throwing me into the wall. She was so depressed. And then she read this book on From Prison to Praise. And she started, God said, praise me in all things. She goes, how can I praise you in all things? I'm depressed. How can I praise you about this situation? He said, praise me in all things. So she'd get up in the morning fully depressed. She said, God, I don't understand what's going on, but you are good. And I praise you and I worship you and I honor you. The Bible says he gives me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And as she began to praise, this depression would lift and she'd be free for the rest of the day. Next day, the depression was back. God, I thank you, I praise you, I glorify you. And this depression would lift. And I saw my mum get set free after a period of time, but she never stopped praising in her life. And as a boy, I would see this. And then as I became a teenager and started being a musician and I began to lead worship, I had understood the power of praise because my mother had taught me the power of praise. The breakthroughs that happen. You know what Planet Shakers are known for all over the world is breakthrough praise. Where did that get taught? That got taught in my bedroom, in my house, in the lounge room, by my mother who prays. And I'm inspired, and you are being inspired by her today. Even though she is one of those great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, her inspiration keeps going. I'm inspired by a guy who I got to serve on his board with. But when I was in Bible college, I stood and watched him preach to Africa. And he said, Africa will be saved. His name was Reinhard Bonnke. And as I watched him preach, thousands and thousands of people, and I stood there and I was inspired. I thought, God, one day, I just want to reach the multitudes. I just want to see you move in great power. He's now graduated to heaven. And you know what? We as Planet Shakers are seeing multitudes impacted all over the world. There is a great cloud of witnesses. Be inspired. They're cheering you on. Third thing, it says, it means we better get on with it. This year, get on with it. Don't live on the back foot. Live on the front foot. Get on with that dream. Get on with that business. Get on with that thing that you had in your heart. Get on with that worship. Get on with that praise. Get on with that generosity. Get on with those miracles. Get on with it. Last year, it's like we were isolated, but we could still reach out. But I'm here to tell you, 2021, it's not a time to sit at home and watch online church experience. It is a time to get on with it and get out and minister and touch and bring freedom and joy. Get on with it. Then it says to strip off the things that hinder you. Run without hindrances. 2 weeks ago, I had an experience called the 1,000 steps. I'd heard about these 1,000 steps. I can honestly say when I'm there eating a McDonald's burger and a Diet Coke to keep it healthy, some chips just to add some carbs because I need some fuel, I never had this desire. One day, I'm going to walk those steps because that's fun. No, but then I did a stupid thing at the beginning of this year. I went and signed up for a gym. And then I had this silly man ring me on the phone. Said, hi, I hear you're looking for a personal trainer. And I foolishly said yes. He said, well, I can be your man. I can be your trainer. And then I looked him up on Instagram and he made me vomit because he had no fat on him whatsoever. He didn't. But I thought I got to change. So in our journey, he says, we're going to do the 1,000 steps. So there we are and we go up and I got a tracksuit on. The thing about me is I become an expert at everything, even if I haven't done it. I was telling him, we'll get up this, no worries. She's right, mate. Yeah, my cardio, it's been awesome my whole life. I ran a half marathon at 1:30. I was doing 11 Ks at 48 minutes. I like hills. So he's there, okay, 2 rules. No grabbing the rail and no stopping. Exactly. If he rings you, don't answer. Because he'll knock you out like Conor McGregor got knocked out today. Oh, some people are going to go watch it afterwards. I'm sorry. Anyway, someone's worried now. Well, you're going to watch it, Mervyn. He lost. Go on and watch it, but he lost. Anyway. Anyway, sorry. I don't know if I can finish this sermon in time. Anyway, he's up there and he goes, come on, yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good time. And he's pushing me up there and I'm like, and he goes, look forward. Keep your chest up. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, why did I sign up to this guy? I hate him. Not really. And we get to the top. And the amazing thing is with me, I run into people all the time who come to our church and they're like, Pastor Russell. And I'm like, hey. Then another lady goes by, hey, Pastor Russell. I'm like, yeah. And then this other one goes, can we get a picture? I'm like, okay. So this week I thought, I'm going to go again. I don't need a personal trainer. I'll do it myself. So I rang Pastor Rudy and I said, because he's a F45 guy, you know. Next. He's an F45 guy. And I thought, you know, he's fit and stuff. I said, do you want to come? And he said, oh, yeah. I'm coming. Then I get home and Noah, I said, you should come. Noah, he goes, no, I got a haircut tomorrow. I'm like, Noah, you can tell your priorities. And so he said, Pastor Rudy doesn't want to come either because, you know, he really said he's scared. That's what he was really saying. And I did not believe that. So I'm driving and I ring Rudy to meet him at the 1,000 steps. And it's getting better every service. And I'm like, you come and met on, is it happening? I didn't know. And then he says, sorry. He said, but next time I'll come, I'll bring Aria and I'll put her on the back and I'll go up that way. Now I've learnt. And then my PA, I'm firing her after this weekend. Because I told this story in the 9:30 and I said, have you ever been to the 1,000 steps? She says, yes, I used to go all the time. She's 6'2". She's an Amazon woman. She's 6'2". And I said, well, how'd you go? She goes, I ran the first time up. Then I went up a second time, half ran it, half walked. And then I walked it a third time. I can't even get to the top without stopping. This time when I was there, there was this girl who she's a bit slower in front of me and I was thanking God for her because there's not a lot of room to get by and she's like, oh, she's holding on and I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Patrick, I told Patrick, and he says, well, you should go behind her and breathe heavily. And then there's your, but her dad's 100 meters ahead, and he's going, come on, come, this girl's almost passing out. And this uncompassionate father. And she was like 10. I'm serious. I'm serious. What is this week, the second week, I wore shorts and a t-shirt. I didn't wear a singlet because I didn't want to scare people with my guns. What are these people with singlets? What about the singlets that hang down there? I'm like, just cover up, man. We don't want to see. So I'm there and I got light because I had track suits on the week before. I had light shorts and I had a light shirt on because last week I got so sweaty and my tracksuit got a bit heavy. And so I thought, I'm not going to be heavier this time because it almost killed me last time. And I lightened up. So what's the moral of the story? Don't ask Rudy to come to the 1,000 steps because he just won't turn up. He just all talk, F45 guy, right? Well, we're Good Life Gym. We're gangster. We wear things like this. Anyway, sorry for every visitor who goes, this guy's weird. The truth is, you can't go fast and far if you're carrying stuff. The carrying of the stuff is just for the exercise part to make you stronger for the journey. But if you're going to go on a journey, you've got to get rid of the stuff so that you can't be weighed down. Get rid of that disappointment. Get rid of that unforgiveness. Get rid of that small thinking. Get rid of that hurt. Get rid of that thing that will try to hold you down in 2021. Get rid of the hindrances. And then the next one is keep your eyes on Jesus. I've discovered with Jesus, he gives you a long-term vision and he gives you a short-term vision. What does he do? He says, look, I had a vision to touch the world. I didn't know how it looked. So he says, I said, God, I want to be used by you. He says, okay, cool. Start a conference called Planet Shakers. I said, what's that? He said, you'll see. See, I had a vision to touch the world. He said, this is the short-term plan. This is the first step plan, not the short-term, the first step plan. Start a conference called Planet Shakers. Okay, let's do that. 300 people first year, 700 people at night. And then it doubled every year. And in 7 years, 30,000 people. He then says, record your worship and start, just do it for because it's so good at the conference. So we did. We didn't do it for anyone else but just the conference attenders. We didn't know it was going to touch the world, that millions of people were going to sing our songs. He says, come on this part of the journey. Come this way. Okay, I want you to start a church. God, I never thought about starting a church. He said, I did. I just wanted to touch the world. He said, good. You're doing it with a conference. You're doing it with music. Now start a church. I'm like, okay, let's start this church. 17 years ago, we started as a church. Now 17,000 people. Then he says, start a Bible college. I said, God, why don't I want to start a Bible college? Because a lot of Bible colleges just give information but don't give transformation and create disciples. I said, God, I don't want an information college. I want a discipleship college. He said, that's what I want too. So now, all these people who graduated today was because I had a vision to touch the world. And all along, I had to keep my eyes on Jesus. And he just showed me different things. Start campuses, start this, start a feeding program. Set a goal to feed 2,000 people a week. Last year, 1 million meals we gave out. How does that happen? It happens because you fix your eyes on Jesus in every season, in everything we do. And then he does supernaturally, far over and above all we dare ask or think. I still want to change the world. But changing the world is seeing him in every part of the journey. I better hurry because the keyboard player's here. Are you bored? Do you want me to get off? You're hungry? You go to Patrick too, right? He's your personal trainer. Yeah, I think I've lost more weight than you. Stop with that rice. Brown rice is better. Yeah, okay, cool. People who run to win, study Jesus' life and emulate it. See, study him, how he dealt with the Judas who betrayed him. Study how he dealt with sickness. Study how he spoke to mountains. Study how he cared for the unloved. Study how he dealt with religion. Study and emulate how he multiplied things. Study and emulate how he handled storms. He didn't freak out with the storm, he spoke to the storm. Number seven, there will be obstacles. Life is full of obstacles. So keep focused. I'm here to tell you, becoming a Christian doesn't make you obstacle free. In fact, I've discovered that the enemy likes to throw more obstacles in. We just have power to overcome them quicker and get through them. But you got to keep focused. Got to keep focused. There will be obstacles, but keep focused. I don't know what 2021's going to be like. I don't know if they'll shut anything down in a moment and open it. I don't know. But every obstacle, you got to keep focused on where you're going. And lastly, be inspired and empowered by Jesus. Don't just say, wow, well, look what Jesus did. He says, I want to empower you to do what I did. He said, I'm going away. He's talking to his disciples, talking to his homies. He says, hey, homie, I'm going away, but I'm going to send somebody who represents me. I represent the Father, but I'm going to send somebody who represents both of us. He's called the Holy Spirit, and he'll give you power. Wait for the Holy Spirit. You think about when Jesus tells his disciples this story, he's risen from the dead. They're so excited now. He says, I'm going to heaven. But I'm going to send you somewhere. So wait, he'll give you power. That word power is the word dunamis, where you get the word dynamite. He'll give you explosive power if you let him fill you and empower you to do things that are far beyond your ability, your efficiency, and your mind. Watch this. Let me show you this God that we serve. This duck here was brought up in an era that university or study wasn't that big a deal. I'm in year 12. I'm big into sport. I was doing all right at school, but I didn't like it. And I applied for 3 jobs in banks and I got all 3 because I was good at maths. So I didn't even finish year 12. Who would have ever thought that I'm the president of a college that has PhD people on? Who would ever thought that I'm also a board member of Oral Roberts University, the biggest Pentecostal university in the world, and that has an annual budget of around $200 million. And I sit on that board that has campuses. Who would ever thought this guy didn't even finish year 12? But because God empowered me and he gave me divine ability to do what he called me to do. So if he can do it with me, he can do it with you. You see, he gives you robes of righteousness. He gives you a mantle to do something great. He puts on things on your life. You just got to say, I'm running in the race to win. You're a winner. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's what you face. You're a winner because everywhere your foot treads is your inheritance. You're a winner because if God be for you, who can be against you? You're a winner because resurrection power lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You're a winner. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You're a winner. You'll sow in tithes and offerings and God will rebuke the devourer and you'll win in resource. You're a winner. You'll show love to people. You'll show kindness to people and you'll receive joy and peace. You're a winner. I remember I was preaching in England at a place called Brixton and it was a Nigerian church. Someone's from Nigeria. And I'm preaching and I must have said something about Jesus as one. And all of a sudden this trumpeter gets out and blah, 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 it starts playing. And then the whole church stands and they start dancing. And they start singing a song, Jesus is the winner man. Not the winter man, the winner man. That's the way how they say it, they're winner man. And so, and they're all dancing. I thought two things. I thought, are they doing that because I preached really bad and it was going too long and they thought, well, let's just start dancing and we'll shut him up. Or was it, I said something that sparked something and they begin to praise. Because I'm a winner, I'll take number two. Number one wasn't what I... You see, what I'm telling you is Jesus is the winner man. And if he lives in you, that makes you a winner. If he's on your side, that makes you a winner. Run to win in 2021. Come on. See, the Holy Spirit's like your personal trainer spiritually. He says, come on, there's more. You got greater. You can do more. You can lift more. You can carry that more. You can grow more. You can become stronger. You can see more. You can go faster. Come on. I've got more for you. 2021, let's get up and let's go. Come on, let's change the world. Let's keep focus on Jesus. Let's focus on Him in every part of what we do. Let's keep Him the focus of what we do.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.